Hallelujah. What's going on? You guys are so quiet. So quiet. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. We're here because you called us. Lord, we're hungry. We're hungry. Hey, we're hungry. Praise the Lord. So I was going to wait on this because I thought I should, but I feel a prompting to just say it right now. Because I don't think the Lord wants us to miss out on anything that he's doing. And sometimes we miss out because we're, disobedient. And I'm not saying we are, but I'm just saying some of the things that cause us to miss out. Casual, and I'm not saying we are. No draw in the spirit. And I'm not saying we are. But I'm just wondering why you came. And some people know why they came. Some are hungry. Some are hungry because they've been bound. Some are hungry because they've been free. Which one are you? God doesn't care which one you are in that way. He likes the freedom that he wants to release into our hearts. But there's obstacles, there's blockages, and this is called removing the limitations. And if you have limitations when you leave here, don't blame God. Because he's no respecter. There's things you can do to create and host his presence. And for too long, the church has been too casual with his presence. Now, a couple things. Where are you right now?
In the Lord's house.
Are you at the movie theater? Are you a spectator? Or are you participating in all that the Lord has? And how do you do that? We're not taught how to do that. That's one thing that nobody gets taught. You have to learn that from the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to say a couple things. I've been in meetings where it's been flat and dull, and I've been in meetings where, you know, the hair on my arm stand up because his presence is so strong. You know what determines that? We do. We do. Couple things. What are you tied to tonight? Is it your phone? Is it your watch? Or is it your hope in him? I saw a picture yesterday or last night, I don't remember which, where the enemy was actually using people's technology to keep them bound into the earth realm system. One of the things that the Lord has taught me, you know, when I wake up in the morning, if the first thing I grab is my phone, I've re-entered into the earthly realm. And how he showed me that was I had a flash of a pack of cigarettes. I used to smoke many years ago. First thing, grab a cigarette. First thing, grab my phone. First thing, grab a drink. First thing, grab Jesus. There should be transformation. And some people, you know, I'm just being brutally honest because we need it. Somebody has to say it, and guess what? It's me right now through the Holy Ghost. You know, we do these meetings. Wednesday nights, we used to, you know, meet Thursday nights. We used to just hang out with the Lord and just fellowship in him and worship him and wait on him. And whatever he wanted to do, he would do. We didn't have any control over it. We just hosted him and said, have your way in our hearts tonight, Lord. And he did. And that's the same thing that nothing changes. Have your way in my heart tonight, and he will. You have to place a draw on him. And what happens is we get so mechanically programmed to, okay, I'm going to this service, and I'm going to sit in this chair, and what do you got for me, God? What do you got for me? But in a casual way, I'm desperate for his presence. I am desperate to be connected with him. And it's not, what do you got for me? It's like, Lord, I'm desperate for you. You're enough for me. Help me overcome every burden and every obstacle, crying out for change and deliverance. Listen, I don't know a person in here who doesn't have a limitation. Just being honest. Why are we so shy and bound and afraid to admit it? You know, when you admit something, there is not one sin in my life that I won't share publicly because the devil has no hold on me. They always end up being testimonies of freedom and breakthrough. God is calling us into one with Him with everything we have, the good and the bad. Stop pretending that it's all good. Because when you face the reality that He is your everything, it's all good. And the stuff that you think is a problem is not a problem. The enemy likes to keep us gripped. Listen, this is the temple of the living God, where we are. He called this place. They called us. They called us to host here. Okay? That's unusual. The Lord did that. Why did He do that? Because He has something for all of us. It's breakthrough. It's transition. It's removing the limitations. It's signs. It's wonders. It's your giftings coming alive. Some are being resurrected for the very first time. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I like the second part. I've been the hope deferred for too long, but there's breakthrough. And I like to live in the living water. I like the tree, the righteousness. I like God's promises in my life. And I have contended to stay focused on Him and overcome the obstacles of my flesh. Phones are an obstacle of our flesh. Could we just trust the Lord enough to turn our phones off tonight? Do we have to have the distractions? Every service we go to, we always announce, please shut your phones off. And most of us do, but some of us feel like we don't need to. I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord why you don't need to turn your phone off. Take it up with Him. Imagine this right now. Jesus standing right here, because He is. This is His house. Would you be on your phone, texting, checking your voicemail, your email, or would you be flat on your face worshiping Him because He's so good? Would you be eating popcorn? Chewing gum? Then why do we do it? Because we haven't been trained. We haven't been confronted. God's confronting us tonight to make some directional choices to choose better. He's worthy of our time. He is not a casual God. He created your eyeball. He created the fingers you use to check your phone. He created your mind to process. He knows all and is all. And He just wants to meet with you. And it's not just here at this time. It's every day in every way. He's growing us. He's wooing us. But meanwhile, the distractions of the world are calling our name. The distractions. We need to fast from the distractions. We don't just fast from food. When we fast from food, we build up our spiritual muscle. We eat the food of heaven. When we fast from technology, it draws us in to oneness with God because those distractions fall away. Now, there's some people in here who struggle with hearing the voice of the Lord. They love His presence. They know He's here somewhere, but they haven't made the full connection. And when your phone goes off, it pulls them out. Are you being used by the enemy? I don't know. Now, I have learned to overcome the distractions, but it wasn't easy. I remember sitting on the bench, listening to the Holy Spirit, and He'd say, repeat what I'm saying, and I would. And there'd be a baby crying, and I'd be like, oh, good Lord, there's a baby crying. How am I supposed to hear from God? He's teaching me to grow up in Him. So with those dings and pings and all that, it's an opportunity to exercise the spiritual muscle of staying in. There's many opportunities to practice that. And then also, exercise the spirit of bless them, Lord. Instead of, good Lord. Can't you turn your phone off? He's watching our hearts. He's watching our hearts. Church splits, same thing. I know there's people in here who have gone through church splits. He's just looking at our heart and how we handle it. It isn't about judging who's on whose side. None of that. None of that. It's all flesh when you're in judgment mode. And God's calling us. We're the remnant. We're the ones that are supposed to be spotless. And the only way to do that is in His presence. He transforms us in His image. And I don't know about you, but I didn't come here for nothing. I came here for everything. And I'm not putting a limit on what that is. I want everything God has for me. And I have seen Him move. It's amazing. You know, we minister in a lot of places. And there's places we go, is He here? There's no draw. People don't know how to draw on the Holy Spirit. That's why we send out the email. Sit with the Lord and write your expectations down. Get them from Him. Place a draw on the Spirit. When you place a draw, He delivers. He's faithful and true. Sometimes we get so busy and we'll get to the list later. I just got to get to that conference, and then I got to get to the next conference, and then I got to get to the next conference. I'll get to the list, I promise, Lord. Listen, peace, be still. Receive what the Lord has. I'm calling a reset tonight in the Spirit. I'm calling a reset, a Holy Ghost reset right now. I break every limitation off of you in this place tonight. I break every false expectation off you in this place tonight. I break every spirit of judgment that's been on you or that you've cast on somebody else. I cover it with the blood of the Lamb right now in this place tonight. I declare resurrection power in this place tonight. I declare dreams come alive in this place tonight. God, have your way in here tonight. We yield completely to you. We authorize you to have your way. We give you everything we have, which is nothing, Lord, because you have it all. But we give you, you know, oh, I got a key in that pocket. And this, look, I got nothing, God. I got this. This is just dust. That's all I got. I'm made of dust, but I'm giving you what I got. I'm giving you me. And when you start, when you approach Him that way, He'll meet you right where you're at, and He won't scare you. He's a good God. He won't scare you. We got to shake the slumber off the body of Christ. You guys are all mature in here, and there's a lot of slumber in here. Listen, you older saints, God is calling you. He's reviving your soul. It's not too late. You have not missed anything. God can pick you up if you zigged and put you back in the center of His will. That's the God we serve. That's the God we love. There's nobody like Him except for you, because you're made in His image. And He's shaking us. He's saying, come on. Come on. Are you in? Now, when we worship tonight, the King of Kings, the only one, the creator of everything, let's worship Him from our whole heart. Now, you might say, okay, what does that mean? How do I know? I'm just a kid, but I know somebody who does. Lord, show me what this means. Don't ask me, ask Him. Teach me how to worship You. I don't even know how to love You, Jesus. Will You show me how? When you put those draws on Him, He will meet you where you're at. And He'll bring you out of bondage, out of slavery, because the enemy wants to keep you bound and wrapped up so you don't worship. False, polite behavior is offensive in the kingdom of God. I doubt it. False, polite behavior is offensive to the Spirit of God. He doesn't want that. He's calling us out. Wake up, bride. Your beloved is near. Wake up, bride. Your beloved is here. Commune with me. Be one in me, and I will show you everything. Let's go ahead.
While Lori was talking, something became crystal clear. I've been struggling with some things. When you do this a lot in a lot of different places, you find can be frustrating because you can go to one place and there's just this blast of a Holy Ghost flow from heaven. And it's, you know, once that happens to you, you're just wrecked for anything less. And then you go to the next place and it's like, eh. And they're all just looking at you like, produce. We heard you got the flow. Do it. And you're like, okay, well, I need a little help here. And what's happening is, when I first started preaching, I mean, I'm getting to a point, I am, and we are going to worship. The first time I preached, I didn't know what I was doing, but God showed up, and it was miraculous. People fell out of their chairs. The Holy Spirit was there. And then 3 days later, same place, same situation, and it was like nothing. Zip, squat. And I thought, I was so young in the Lord, I thought, well, what'd I do right? What'd I do wrong? And because I thought it was all me. And God began to tell me when people come, actually, this is how he taught me. He confirmed it at Crystal Lake. Some of you remember Crystal Lake. We would have these long prayer lines. And I would go along and, you know, I'd pray for a person, pray for a person, pray for a person. And without exception, every Saturday night, there was one lady there that when I would get to her, it would be like, I mean, I could prophesy to this lady with fire for 20 minutes. And then I'd go on. And I thought, what is with this lady? Finally, after weeks and weeks of this, I went to her and I said, do you pray a lot? Oh, yeah, I pray all the time. I come expecting. I'm quoting the word. I'm telling the Lord what I'm believing for. I'm like, will you look at that? Yeah. Now, I had recently gone to Woodstock, and there was this long line of people. And I'm praying for people, and this girl comes in front of me. And it was exactly like trying to pray for a brick. I mean, there was nothing. Zip, no anointing, no. I'm like, you know. And I said to her, what made you get in this line? She said, he did. Her boyfriend had shoved her in the line. She wanted nothing to do with the whole thing. Was not interested, didn't care, didn't want to be there. So what I'm saying to you is you get to turn the dial on how much you receive. And it's very hard for us if there's not a pull. So the reason Lori was talking about the list is when we were in Grand Junction, a lady reminded us of something that I forgot. It was Carol. Her name is Carolyn Hickok. And Carolyn had come many years ago to a retreat, and I must have put something in the email like, make a list of the things you are expecting God to do. Well, she did years ago. Everything on that list she received. She said, I've been to all these, I forget how many she said, but many. And every time she comes to a retreat, she comes with her expectations. She goes over with God, and she said, every time her list is fulfilled. And Nicole reminded me of it because she made a list, because I guess Lori told her to make a list. And she already got a couple of them knocked out today. So what I'm saying is, have an expectation. One of the worst, and when Marty was sharing about the river, the picture I saw was, sometimes people go and they go, oh, isn't that pretty? And they skip rocks and they might stick their toe in, and they're observers. And the first time I heard someone share this, I really didn't get it. But people came to look at what God was doing, to see what he was doing. But what God is saying is, we need to learn how to be expert swimmers. You need to get in and you need to swim and swim and swim and swim until you are an expert at it. That's when you really receive the flow of the Spirit, not looking at it and not being in the woods saying, oh, Lord, bring your river over here and anoint me. Yeah. Right? Because, yeah. You know. So as Lori was sharing, this is what came really crystal clear to me. And I have dealt with this a lot in my own life. This is one of my limitations that I had to go before the Lord and get free of. All of us have been around the block a few times, right? Some of us have been saved fairly long. Some of us have had promises that haven't happened yet. Hope deferred. Some of us were rejected by men, rejected by leaders, thought we had something to offer. People didn't want it. Isn't that true of almost all of us? Yes. I would say, yeah. And so what happens is, we become emotionally weary. And I was emotionally weary. I love the Lord. You don't love the Lord any less. You didn't lose your first love. You just got tired. And I know I'm talking to some people. And I was at a certain place, and I had a task to do that normally would be like nothing and everything. And I was like, I just don't want to do it because I was so weary emotionally. The task that was this big became this big. And the Lord said to me, If you woke up this morning and you had no past whatsoever, no past, but you knew everything you now know, like you're the same person, you know all your stuff, you just had no past, he said, then would you be weary? Would that seem like a big task? I'm like, no, that'd be cake. That'd be a cakewalk. He said, I think you need to cut off the years of emotional weariness. And as Lori was talking, I was like, what? And no offense, but as we've been ministering, I'm feeling like this heavy kind of dullness, like not the usual hunger I would feel. And I was like, Lord, what is that? And as she was talking, I was like, there's some folks in here, and it's not your fault. We've all done it. But it's been a long time, and you've been faithful. Here's the good news. You kept coming. You're still here. You didn't quit. You didn't give up. You're here. But God wants to peel it off like a cloak. And when he freed me, I went before him and said, you're totally right, Lord. I'm sorry. I got tired. I love you no less, but I was tired. I was emotionally weary. And he just so gently peeled off this cloak that was like that thick and began to just peel it off. And so I'm just going to have us close our eyes because we want God to freshen us and make us new as if there was no past. Because the promises he gave you, he still wants to keep. I don't care how many turns your road took. Here's what we say. Well, I don't know. Maybe I took a wrong turn. Or maybe this happened or that happened. Maybe he doesn't want to do it anymore. Okay, that's a lie and it's a limitation. God will find you wherever you're at. He will come and find you. If you wandered into the woods, even well-meaning, he will come and find you. And he will bring you right back to the center of his will. I see him right now taking off that limitation of emotional weariness and tiredness, road weary, the dust of travel. I see him taking off backpacks of burdens of why didn't it happen? Did I miss it? Did I blow it so bad that he didn't want to do it anymore? No. No, you didn't. God still wants to keep his promise to you. And it says, listen, when God makes a promise to you, I don't care if it was 40 years ago. Do you know I'm seeing this year for the first time things he promised me 40 years ago? He never forgot. And in heaven, there is no age. Things don't age. Promises never age. They're as fresh as if he spoke it a moment ago. They're as fresh as if he just spoke it a moment ago because time doesn't work that way in heaven. So that promise he gave you, that vision or that dream or that hope or that book you're going to write or that ministry you're going to minister, that thing he put in you, it is as fresh as ever it was as though he just spoke it to you, but he wants to take off the years of road weariness. So I'm going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all of my past. Any heaviness, any burden, any worry about making a mistake, take this cloak away from me. Because you said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I don't want to walk down this road like it's heavy. I want to walk down this road like I'm tap dancing. I want to dance with joy into your glory. And the only burden I want to carry is that I'm walking in the will of God in his joy and peace. So refresh me. Remove any thoughts of the past. And I receive that you are still good for that promise. No matter what has happened. No matter what I did right or wrong, you're still good for it. In Jesus' name. Oh, I feel better now. Woo! Take that. Stick it in your pipe and smoke it, devil. And if you ever thought, oh, I think God's done with me, oh, no. See, when you get older, that's when he uses you the most. Because the Bible says that when we get white, which I do have some white, you just can't see it right now, but I do have some. When our hair gets white, we have more wisdom. Yeah. It's more wisdom because you've lived through more. And you have things to say that the younger body needs. God is not done. He's just getting started. And if we had planned for it, I would show you a video of a 97-year-old lady who's a gymnast. You've seen that? And she gets on the parallel bars, and she can do handstands and like, I mean, 97. You know why? She just wouldn't quit. She wouldn't quit. Well, we need to be like that in the Spirit of God. Amen? Okay, so I think, are we going to worship? Or are we going to? All right, hallelujah. You're going to love this. This is inspiring right here. I used to be a little shy about placing demands on the Lord. But I found that sometimes faith is being very bold and saying things to God like, you said this and I expect you to fulfill it. Because you didn't say you'd do it if I was good enough, smart enough, never made a mistake. You said you'd do it. So I expect you to do it. And here's what happens. First of all, God smiles. But second of all, something happens in you. The reason proclamations are important, you're telling three people. You're telling the enemy. You're shutting the door in his face. You're telling the Lord and the Word, and you're opening the door to the blessing. All right. And I'm just going to say it. The third person you're telling is your soul. You're telling your soul what to think, what to believe, how to act. Because your soul will be depressed if you don't tell it how to act. Your soul will go around sad and lead you around by the nose. But your soul, your emotions were meant to serve you, not rule you. You tell them how to feel. Because for years I let mine tell me how to feel. Tell me when we're ready. We're doing the boogie here. Getting close. Thought we were going to have a dance. But I discovered after walking around in depression for some years that emotions were made to serve us, not rule us. And when I learned it, see, your emotions and your physical body obey what you tell it. So when you call your friend and say, oh, I just feel so blue, your soul goes, oh, yeah, I really. Oh, I'm just feeling so bad. This situation, wah, 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 wah. And then you wake up the next day depressed and you're not sure why. That's why. You just told your soul to go, oh, what a bummer. But when you say, you know, hey, I could use some prayer and believe in God for this. Here's a situation, but here's what I'm believing for. Your soul's like, yeah, how you doing? Great. Because your soul's kind of dumb.
So I feel like we need to call Marty up because I want to... do something. And Marty, you want this mic? Or you got one for him? Okay. Marty's got something.
Is this what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was be instant in season or out. We want to pray tonight if there is anyone. We talked today about the Holy Spirit. We talked about the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. fact. You know, I did not bring my Bible with me. But Peter, when he was talking to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, and they were questioning what just happened, he said, look, this is what Joel prophesied. And he said, this promise is to you, is to your children. It's to as many as are afar off. It's to as many as the Lord our God shall call. You don't earn it. It's for every born-again believer. It's for every born-again believer so that we can do the works of Jesus. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, don't leave home without it. Right? We need it. So tonight, we just want, if there is anyone here and you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we would love to pray with you, and you'll receive. Is there anybody here that you would like to receive tonight? Yes, and so if you read in Acts chapter 2, Jesus, when he was resurrected, he said to the disciples, first he breathed on them in the upper room, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus breathes on you, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. They were born again, and they were saved. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. Every believer, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and he takes up residence inside of you. But then Jesus spoke to these saved, born again believers who had the Holy Spirit inside of them. And he said, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go out and do anything that I have commanded you to do until you are, the word that in the King James is endued or clothed with power from on high. He said, because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, I don't understand how this works, but the same Holy Spirit who is in you will now come upon you. And he told the apostles, he says, don't do anything until this happens, even though he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And they waited for 10 days after his ascension. And then 10 days after his ascension on the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room. Scripture says there was 120 of them. They were in one place with one accord. And all of a sudden, they heard a mighty wind from heaven. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And the scripture says they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? And from that day, miracles began to happen. Okay? And when you look through the account in the book of Acts, whenever believer, you see three things happen. Believers are added to the church, they're baptized in water, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. When they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In fact, if you read in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius and the conversion of Cornelius, Peter came to preach to Cornelius, and Peter was a Jew. He was stepping out in faith because the Holy Spirit said, go and speak to these Jews. Go and speak to these non-Jews, to these Gentiles. But he was not comfortable. This was, we talked about being off your grid. He was way off of his grid. He did not want to be there, but he went because the Holy Spirit prompted him to go and to doubt nothing. He began to preach Christ to them. As he began to preach Christ to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues. And Peter, who did not believe that the Gentiles could receive, who did not believe that the Gentiles could be filled with the Holy Spirit, said, can anyone here prevent water, withhold water for baptizing these folks because they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? And so the scripture calls it a lot of different things. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, filling with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit comes upon the believer. There's an initial experience. And you begin to speak with other tongues. We talked today about why that's important. There's a lot more reasons than what we talked about today. But it's for every believer. We don't earn it. You don't have to. Jesus earned it. All you have to do is ask. And as you ask, you'll receive. And so, and from that moment on, you have the ability to pray in the Spirit. And as you pray in the Spirit, God will take you to places you've not been before. I don't have any other way to say it than that. Your prayer life will take on a new dimension. One of the things that I noticed as this happened to me when I was 17. I was in a prayer meeting. A couple of older ladies came up to me and they said, "Do you want the Holy Spirit?" And they would not let me leave that meeting until I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it took me about an hour. It only could take about 10 seconds, by the way. I just didn't know how to yield. It took me about an hour to learn how to yield. And then they said to me something very, very important. They said, "Now you know you can pray in tongues now whenever you want." They made me take another hour there at the church and pray for an hour just so I would know how. And then from that day forward, I pray every day in the Spirit. Now, it's so beneficial to do the works of Christ. So if there's anyone here, and I'm sorry, did I answer your question? I forget who asked. Yeah, did I answer your question? Okay, so it's free. You don't earn it. You don't have to be good enough. Jesus said, "Who's it for?" He said, well, Peter said, "It's for you, it's for your children, for as many as are far off, for as many as the Lord our God shall call." Jesus said, "I give this gift to you." He says, "The world can't receive it. It's for the born-again believer." So if there's anybody here and you've not received this free gift and would like to receive this free gift, we'd love to pray with you now so you can receive. Pardon me? No, it won't take an hour. It literally, I have watched people in 1 or 2 seconds. It's very, very fast. And we'll explain how to yield. Anybody?
It's not weird.
Take advantage of it while you can.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Today's a good day. Come to the
Holy Spirit. Yes, Aaron. Are you asking me, do you think that you made it up?
Well, where you kind of think, I think I've received that, and then you just kind of go with it, but you're not totally sure.
What I would say is, do you want to come up and we'll pray with you? What typically happens is you receive, and when you receive, the enemy will fight you. And he'll say to you, "You didn't really receive this. You're making this up. He's a liar." So we're just going to pray, and we're just going to ask for freedom. And this is for anyone else who wants to pray. I'm sorry, what?
Sorry.
Praise the Lord.
That's the Lord right there.
Yeah, let's just pray. Now, when you pray, I'm just going to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I believe He already has. Okay? And then you're just going to worship the Lord. But you're not going to worship the Lord with the words of English. Instead of letting the words flow from your mind to your tongue, you're going to let them flow from your spirit, your innermost being. And the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words, and they're going to come right out. Okay? No, you're not performing. You're yielding. So, Lord Jesus, you said you're the baptizer. You said John would baptize with water, but you would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So, Lord, for our sister Erin, we call upon you, Lord Jesus, the baptizer. And, Lord, I ask for you to baptize Erin with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, Erin, just yield to the Holy Spirit and just allow those words to come up from your belly out through your mouth. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just praise the Lord. Receive, Erin. Oh, say, Gloria, say. Gloria, diga, say. Oh, just let it flow from your belly. Oh, it's not going to come from your head. It's going to come from your belly. Say. Just yield. Just yield. Oh, the Lord is here. He's here. You feel him on you? Just yield. Oria, say. Oh, there it is. Yield. Oria, say. I just felt him come on you. Oh, just yield. Oria, just right out of your belly. Just let words flow right out of your belly. Oria, say. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oria, say, kite. Oria, say, kite. Oria, say, kise. Oh, say. Oh, fill, Lord, fill with the Holy Spirit. Fill with your fire, Lord. Lord, overwhelm her with the Holy Spirit. Overwhelm her with your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Origa se kite, origa se. Origa se. Origa dia ko. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Origa dia. Basso, haprede de siti. Holy, holy, holy.
While they're ministering, you know, the Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what sometimes we've seen is people who are open to the Holy Spirit, they may have had some encounter, but they haven't quite had all the power they would like. And I really feel like God wants to up the juice. So I don't know about you. Right? So first I'm saying there's some people in here, you have a bit of a prayer language, but it's not full. It's like a few syllables and you're like not sure and you say them over and over. God wants to increase your languages, plural, until you have songs, many languages, you'll have a warfare tongue. He also wants to up the power. So I'm just going to have anybody that wants an increase, hallelujah, in their prayer language, songs, warfare tongue, or just flat out power in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have you stand. I feel like God is releasing something in the room. Holy Shatobre Site Shatoko Hese Shatoho Siti Shakamba Heo Shata Shaborahate Ho Ha Ko Hatabo Soto Bresita Shoko Yushote Yonde Be Hey Kaso Hey Te Sindo Braka She Yoba Se Te Shoko Yo You Te Se Grete Kambo She Holy, 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 fire, fire, fire. Holy, 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 fire, fire, fire. Impartation, increase, 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 increase. More, still more, still more, still more, still more. And Father, let them burn with hunger. Let them burn with hunger. Let them burn with hunger. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, 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 holy. O brata kashoko kositi, inde ke he se koho ro. Iba soto kai shato to. Fear go, fear go, fear go. Woo! The devil is a liar. Emradakata shoko goshi. Woo! Ho, ho, ho. Endobrasa tasoto koshikia kahasho. O rababa soto toshi. I command every spirit of shame to loose God's people. In the name of Jesus, any form of shame, regret, dread, or fear, go in Jesus' name. You may be seated. God is doing something to release his people. You can stay up here if you want, sweetie pie. Tell me what's happening. Holy. Ho. Ha ba 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 sacha. Ha. Oh. Hey, she. Hey. Shapareka toto, you're being separated unto God. You're being separated unto God. You're being separated unto God for his purpose, his purpose, his purpose. Hallelujah. Don't look to man to fulfill your desires and needs. God will fulfill them. Whether there is a man or not, God is going to fulfill something in you that's been a deep longing. He is separating you unto himself for a holy purpose and calling. Ho. Holy. Sho takahai. Sho. Sho. Holy, holy, holy. They say the angels are bowling. Shatabe soto breketi shikya hasa sata ta shoko shoko so kasa keta te sa ke koso koso kota te oso kota shikya hai shondo besa kore ba shoto shoto sho separated unto the king, separated unto the king, separated unto the king, the handmaiden of the Lord, the handmaiden of the Lord. It's a holy thing. It's a holy thing. Holy. Holy. Korabashata kato. Sondrovo sitya kahai shokohe. God is releasing us from normal. I see all kinds of lids and caps coming off. Horebehe sho toto sokoko. Hoto Reka, got anything else there, Buster? Holy. You know, it's... Holy.
That's the second time this week. You know, sometimes the Lord will tell you a joke at the most inappropriate time. Yeah. Ask him. I don't know if I have a pocket. I do. Okay. Clean up in aisle five. Listen, we are breaking through. Two things. Don't go into spectator mode.
Yeah.
Stay hungry.
Yes.
God's doing something in here. It may not manifest the way you think. But that doesn't mean he's not moving in here. Don't let the enemy steal anything that the Lord is delivering tonight. You are set apart unto him for his good pleasure. Draw near to him.
Draw near to him. Place a draw. The days of breadcrumbs are over. Fresh manna every day awaits you. Attend to him. Attend to him. I'm waiting on the Father. I see the expectancy of the Father. I see him wanting to bring forth treasures from heaven into you, into you, into you, into you. Lord, we receive you. We receive you. We make way for you. We're so excited for you. We've been refreshed and renewed. Weariness is left. We can hear you now. We can see you now. We welcome you to take us wherever you choose, sir. Show us whatever it is you want to show us. Can you hear him? Do you feel his woo? I actually see the Holy Spirit wrapping feet to him. I see a binding going on. And I hear him saying, I'm never going to let you go. I see him trying in some places. I see him actually like, the image is similar to a rodeo when a horse gets lassoed. You're weak of flesh and he can consume you now. He's captivating you. He's bringing you closer. Some have resisted out of fear. Some have resisted out of rebellion. But you've opened the way for him, and I see him overtaking the obstacles, overcoming through the barriers because you're letting him. Sometimes we put stuff up to block the blessings of the Lord out of fear, out of stupidity, out of rebellion, out of hurt, out of tiredness or laziness, whatever it is. But I see him moving in here and overtaking us in such a way we're never going to be the same. We can't put words to what he's doing right now. But receive whatever it is. I heard the words package. Receive the package. Receive the package that he has for you. Now, when you receive, let me tell you about receive. Receive is this. Yielding. This is not receive. Receive. Open. I receive you. I receive your package. Commune with the King. I've been watching. I've been seeing in heaven. I've been seeing these beautiful treasures. I've touched them. They're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting. You just let me know when. Okay.
I don't know the timing for everyone, but I do know this. He is here for the taking. Now, when I say he is here for the taking, the gifts are in him. The gifts flow through him. Receive him and your inheritance. Receive him and the anointings. Receive him in the fullness of his glory. Subdue your flesh. Many are in, and a few are out. Holy Spirit, help. Help the ones that are still blind and trying to find their way. Go after that sheep. Bring them in.
Hallelujah. Am I on?
Yeah.
I've turned the button back and forth so many times, I'm not sure. So while we were looking, I saw a picture, saw a couple things. One was as though God reached in and opened like a flap, and he began to pull out some old rusty tools. And one was like this old rusty wrench called shame. And one was this old rusty tool called regret. One was sorrow. You know, God can fill us more when we're empty. And so I feel like this in this moment, he's literally doing a work of pulling out some things and releasing. And you may feel strange when that happens. You may say, why am I crying, or why do I feel weird? Some of you had some things happen to you in your life that brought feelings of shame and self-blame. But God said, that's not of me. And I don't want you carrying that. You see, when you come to him, you're like a new, brand new, pure, white, perfect virgin, the handmaid of the Lord or the son of the Lord. Pure, holy. And so the old things and those old feelings or strongholds, old cloaks that we wear of shame or guilt, they don't belong anymore. They're not yours legally. And so right now in the name of Jesus, I speak to any form of shame that tried to attach to any person in this room through something that happened. And there's just a few people, so bear with me. It's only a few. But you've never been able to let go of the feeling that you did something so wrong or you deserved it or you're not fully clean before God, even though the blood has cleansed you, your emotions have held on to a dirty rag of guilt and shame. And that's very understandable, because especially if you were ever violated, that's a violation against your soul and your body. And so the Lord is cleansing in a deeper way. He's removing even the remembrances of it. And most of all, he's removing that stronghold's ability to have a say in your life. He's removing the voice that shame has to make you feel like you're the problem. I'm the problem. I'm the bad one. He's removing regret. There's someone here you've had regret over. What if I would have done this? You know, my marriage would have been saved. What if maybe could I have done that and I wouldn't have lost that job or that contract? There's a regret and you've turned it over. You've picked it up and looked at it and muddled through it and talked about it over and over with God. And I saw the Lord just so lovingly take it. Reach out and take it gently from your hands and throw it miles away. Say, that has nothing to do with us. That has nothing to do with us and where we are today. And you will no longer carry that. He is raising people from the dead. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you know very much what I'm talking about. There's people in this room that your life took you down a road that was so hard and so devastating that you had to die to everything you knew. And it seemed as though you lost your life, and you did. Where's Brother Brian? Brian, God is raising you from the dead. He is resurrecting you. And I saw you coming out of a grave. Remember, we were in Salida, and God gave me the weirdest word, and the word was Finnegan, begin again. And I thought, okay, that's pretty weird, but I'll say it, you know. You know, and later Brian came up to me and said, I think that was me. But Brian, you went through a lot. And a lot was stolen from you. And a lot was put on you. A lot of accusation came against you. And a lot of that was not of God. And the devil would have buried you for good. But I saw Jesus standing on the hill. And he had his hand up to his mouth, and he was saying, Lazarus, come forth. But the news here is he's not just saying that to one of us. He's saying that to a number of us who've been through a death process for him, because we loved him so much. We loved him more than anything life had to offer, and we said, I'll die to anything if it just means I could carry you, if I could do something for you. Then he said, okay, let go of that, let go of that, and let go of that. And some things let go of us. Some of us lost relationships, homes, families, friends, church, ministry. We lost a lot. But it was rubbish, right? We counted all rubbish for the excellency of knowing Jesus, because now what we have is a clean slate. Kimmy? You're getting raised from the dead. Some of you have died to things you knew about the death process, but you died to things you never thought you'd have to die to. And see, the problem is if we don't know about living a dying life for Jesus, right? What did Paul say? I die daily. We don't like that gospel message very much. But what he was saying is, when they beat him up again, put him in jail again, left him for dead again, he could have quit. But he chose to live a dying life, always putting Jesus first, always thinking, what's in it for Jesus? What's in it for the church? Will the church make it if I don't write them letters? Will they make it if I don't preach? See, when Jesus comes on you in real revival, real awakening, you stop thinking about your deal, your relationships. You stop thinking about your stuff, and you start to think like Paul did. He carried daily the burden of the churches. Would they make it? He didn't know his letters were going to keep us alive for a couple thousand years. He didn't know we'd still be reading them and talking about them, teaching from them today. He didn't know that. He was concerned, would the church make it? His entire focus was for the kingdom. Something much greater than all of us. And God is raising some of us from the dead, from our old past life, which really was rubbish, right? Because he's raising us up to newness of life to carry what we could not otherwise carry. Dead people who've been raised can carry stuff no living human can carry. Do you know it? Yeah, it's all true. People who have never died to self but are gifted, I want to say this kindly, but a lot of times they just sound like a clanging gong. There's some gateways you can only go through when you're ready to die for Jesus, that he might live. That it's so worth it. Does it hurt? Oh yeah. Does it hurt worse than you ever imagined? Oh yep, yep, yep. But when he raises you from the dead, there's something that happens. It gives you an authority because he was the firstborn of many brethren. He was the first to die and be raised. He was the firstborn of many brethren. God is raising people up who've been through it, been down the road and back and thought it was over, and died to a lot of things they really wanted to do. And by the way, one of the things you die to in the end is your own value, your own identity, the hope of ever doing anything for God, ever. And then when you're laying there in a puddle and there's nothing left, Jesus speaks. And he starts to call you forth. And he starts to do things in you, to you and through you, that you could have never understood or imagined or figured out. So God is raising something up. He's also removing things. It was hard to give words. That's why we probably seemed like we were in a muddle, because there was so much going on in the room of seeing things being removed. God is redeeming some of the past of people. People that went through divorces, death of a spouse, death of a child. Only Jesus. But I saw him breathe into lives. I saw him breathe life. And as he breathed life, I saw someone come awake and their eyes open unto the Spirit of God. And the good news about having been through a death process, you no longer care. You don't worry so much whether they like you or not, or whether they agree with you or not, whether they think you're cute or not. You don't care about that. Because when you wake, you're more in his image. And you care more about heaven, the kingdom, the glory of God, whether he gets the proper amount of glory and respect. You care whether he gets his way, not whether you get your way. See, the death process is what turns you inside out. The death process is when you die to you so you can live for him, but more accurately to say, he can now live through you. And some of you said, I didn't realize that's what happened to me. But that's what happened to me. Some of you went through some terrible things and you thought you'd never breathe again. It's one person you thought you'd never write again. You thought you'd never love again. You thought you'd never have a relationship again. Talking to different people. But God is doing something. It's called life from the dead. And he's redeeming those things that were so painful to die to. He's actually redeeming that and turning it into the glory of the Lord. You know, I think I talked to you about this, Brian, but this is for all of us. When I was in it, my life was pretty well destroyed over a course of 8 years. And I had no hope of ever living again, and didn't want to, frankly. Everything that I knew or loved or cared about was destroyed. Everything. All of it. I wasn't sure what to do with that. But in it, I had a vision of Jesus. And what I saw looked like a city that had been through World War II. And it looked like those old black and white pictures of gray buildings that were just rubble, with just rubble everywhere. And I was just in rags, you know, bombs had gone off. It was just over. There was nothing. You know, in those kind of towns after World War II, there wasn't food, there wasn't water, there wasn't anything. There was nothing. And that's what that felt like. And then in this dust, I saw Jesus come in. And he had a clipboard. And he had a hard hat. And he was assessing the town. See, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And you know what we do? We build our own city a lot of times. But God has something. He's going to give beauty for ashes. And some of you may say, well, that was some years ago, and I've kind of, you know, I've done well. I've gotten past it. I know, and I'm so glad. But Jesus is breathing into some rubble right now. I see him breathing into things that died, things that caused you to feel like, well, I guess that's the end of that. Oh, well. You know, I really thought we were going to do that, Lord, but oh, well. Do you ever feel like that? I thought I was going to have this kind of ministry, but oh, well. You know, when Edgar died, it didn't make sense. You know, he was the big deal of the day. He was the one with all the juice. I just thought, oh, well, you know, oh, well. I was like, oh, no. I have something I want you to do. God has something that he's going to have you do. And he's going to breathe life into you. In fact, I actually see him breathing into some of you right now. New life, new hope, new vision, or renewed vision. Someone in here, when you were about 20, maybe 21, you actually had some type of, I don't know if I should call it an encounter, but you had a very definite understanding from God of something you would do. And all these years went by, and it kind of felt like, did I miss it? Did I somehow go the wrong way? And is that no longer true? No, it's still true. That promise is still yes and amen. And so what happens is when we grow weary or beat up, or we just think, well, I guess I used to feel like this, but I guess I took a wrong turn. Maybe he can't do it anymore. You know, so much happened, and I guess we're just not doing that anymore. And God would say, excuse me. And he would ask me, never, you know, so gently. He was so gentle. But he would ask me, you know, just align your heart with mine. Allow me to do what I'm good at doing. I'm a specialist at raising the dead. It's what I do. I raise the dead. That's what I do. I do the impossible. That's what I do. That's who I am. It's what I take special joy in. So the very thing that you have seen as it's too late, or that's over, or I don't think even God can do that because too much water's gone under the bridge, or too many years have gone by. That's just about when God says, hey, come aside and look at this burning bush. Now's your time. Now is the time when I will do what I said I would do, but I need your heart to align with me. Because what I said I will do, I am doing. I am doing. But if you are misaligned because you no longer think it could happen, it'll bounce right off of you. It'll bounce off of your heart. You know that truth can bounce off if you have a filter? Yeah, if you have a filter, it says, I just don't see how that could happen. You will literally reject truth because you are unable to accept it. Even the scientists who are not Christian talk about filters. They're real things. That's how your brain works. That's how it was designed. And so we have to change our filter today, don't we? That thing we thought it's too late for me, or maybe I just blew it so bad, God is challenging us to say, will you let me do the impossible in you, to you, and through you? Will you let me reveal myself in you? Because that's what I really want. I want to show people my greatness in you. I want to show people the love of God through you. I want to talk about the kingdom, but I want to do it through you. I want to raise you up to carry me to the nations. No, it's not too late. No, the door has not closed. There's someone in here, when COVID hit, you just kind of, well, I don't know if I could do missions anymore. You know, I used to just love going overseas and doing missions. But now it just seems like, you know, all that stuff's getting hard. And God says, there's still an open door. There's an open door, and it's open wide, and the nations are actually, some of the nations are in revival and they're calling for help. So don't shut the door because you think it's not time or it's too late. That door is open and there's a window, a pretty good window of time where you'll be able to do what you're good at doing. So go, 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 go. If that's you and you had said, well, you know, maybe not now. Things are so weird. You know what? There's a window. Use that window. Do what you were born to do. Do what you're good at doing. Do what you're good at doing. There's revival in this room. There is revival going on in hearts. I'm hearing someone say, could it be? You know, that's how we respond sometimes when God gives us a radical idea. We don't just go, oh, I'll accept that. We go, could that really be true? Could that be true? It is true. God is looking to use you. And I feel like someone's going, but I don't, you know, you're almost looking around behind you. Could he mean someone else? No, he means you. See, because the exact way he created you, the exact way he created you with all your oddities, right? We're all so different. We all deliver the word of the Lord so differently. No two of us are alike. You were created a certain way to carry one of the many facets of his personality. And it won't look like how I do it, right? No two of us will present God the same way, and that's a good thing. It's like his fingerprint. I actually saw him burning his fingerprint on the inside of somebody. You know, like burning it. That has to do with your real identity. There's someone in here, you've had words given to you, a number of words over a number of years about your real identity, but because you're shy and you're kind of modest and you don't always think well of yourself, you kind of thought, oh, well, I don't really think that could be God. You've kind of wanted to just say, no, I don't think that could be God. I don't think he would really use me that way. But God's saying, yeah, this means you. This means you. That I have a plan that no one else really gets. Because I've put something in you that other people can't see. The seed of heaven, it's a seed that I put in each person. And just like there are all kinds of different trees, every person in the body has a different type of seed. And what happens is it begins to grow in you, but it's not visible to anybody. Sometimes not even you. And if you don't spend time with me and water it and feed it and pray over it, it'll just lie dormant. But when you come to life and you begin to connect with me, when you begin to connect with the Lord, life starts to happen, and a seed, it sprouts two ways, doesn't it? A little sprout goes down like a root, and a little sprout starts to come up. No one can see it. You might know it's there. You might feel like it's there, but you don't know what to call it or what is it. And it has to do with your identity. And then this thing starts to grow as long as you're, you know, fellowshipping with the Lord and you're praying and watering. This thing starts to grow. People still can't see it. Don't expect people to see your calling. Don't expect, well, I don't know why my pastor doesn't know I'm called. Well, God's hiding it. God will hide it until it's the right season. You know, he will sell no wine before it's time. And you can't make him do it. You can't manipulate him into doing it. You can't beg him into doing it. He will not do it until it's time, unless you just get out there in your flesh and do it. And then it won't be any power to it. It'll be just another clanging gong. But here's what happens. As you spend time with the Lord and you wait on him, you sit with him and you pray, you ask your questions and you fill yourself with the word, this thing begins to grow, and pretty soon it gets a little bigger than you are. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven, it's like a seed, a tiny seed, but it grows up into this huge tree. and the birds of the air can come and rest in its branches. And what happens is, if you just keep tending to the Lord, he tends to that tree, and it becomes life, and it becomes bigger, and pretty soon people go, what is that? Hey, I think you're called. People who never thought you were called say, hey, you know, I think you're called. Because they start to see this thing that is now bigger than you. God is raising up people in this room who are mighty. And don't, you know, the American church thinks it's all about preaching. Some of this has nothing to do with preaching. But it does have to do with changing the kingdom. There are kingdom changers in this room. And God is redeeming lives. He's bringing life from the dead. There's someone here, you gave up. Years ago, something went really bad for you. Something went really badly. And you kind of just took the thing, and I don't know if this is literal or figurative, but I saw you go out in the backyard behind your house, and you just kind of threw it out and said, you know what? I'm giving up on this dream. I don't think this could ever happen now. Everything's gone so badly. Everything's gone so not the way I thought. And you gave up on your dream. But I saw a picture of this. While it lay out there, and you went in and ignored it for years, you went on your way, but I saw that thing sprouting. And I saw it growing. And I saw God saying, I'm not done with that. You think you're done with that, but I'm not done with that. And whoever you know who you are because of what I said. You know who you are. God wants to reinstate the dream that he gave to you that you gave up on. And I just heard your little heart say, but I don't want to be hurt anymore. And I do understand that. I've been there and done that. I don't want to be hurt anymore, you know. You know, pick somebody else, God. I would always say, go pick Rob. He's great. Go pick Rob. He's great. Because I was just too hurt for too long. I'm talking to somebody. Finally, one day God got mad at me and he said, stop telling me to pick Rob. I didn't pick Rob, I picked you. Kind of whether you like it or not. Rob's got his own tree. God is not going to hurt you. God is not one who disappoints when he makes a promise. Our issue is that we grow weary, we grow tired, we get too beat up, and we give up because it hurts too much. Because our value has been stolen or stripped. You know, we are a people that we need to, let's just be honest, we need to feel like we have value. And if we don't find it in God, we do all kinds of crazy stuff to feel like we're valued. Right? Watch the unbelievers. Just watch their behavior. If they don't have value, they'll go to the gym and they'll work out and get big muscles because then they'll have value. Or they'll go to school and they'll work and study and work and study so they can be smart enough and then they'll have value. Or they'll get a car and, you know, it used to be they'd jack it way up or jack it way down, make it loud. You know, their value was in, they had to find something that people go, wow, look at you. Because that isn't that how we are? We need to feel like we have value. But what we're really looking for is the thumbprint of God in our soul. What we're looking, you know, people witnessed and they say, oh, you have a God-shaped hole in your heart. Did you know that most Christians still have a God-shaped hole? I'm glad we all got saved, but I'm going to tell you something. Most people are walking around with this gaping hole in their soul that hasn't been filled because they haven't come into the fullness of relationship. Because they're scared to, or they just didn't know to. I used to say, God, I don't understand why I can preach these messages, you know, and some people will get it, and then there's some that'll come for 20 years, and they never seem to get it. And I said, what am I doing wrong? What am I not saying right? How could I say it better? And God said, you're taking a whole lot for granted. He said, first of all, you're assuming that everybody sitting there is born again. And second of all, you're assuming that those that are, they said the prayer. Some of them said the prayer because they were told, if you don't say this prayer, you're going to hell. So they said the prayer. But they never made me Lord. And some of those who even made me Lord have never learned relationship because they immediately went somewhere where they were taught a program. And they got in the program and they think that's it. They think that's all there is. Still having a God-shaped hole. Still having filters that bounce off any idea of being close to God in the secret place. Isn't that interesting? God is wooing us and calling us and saying, come out from among them, be separate, because I want to take you into my house. I want to take you into the holy place. I want to show you the throne room. I don't want you to just hear about it. I want you to know me. Know me personally, in relationship. And then I hear him saying, am I worth it? You say, oh, that'll take a lot of time. Am I worth it? Yeah. Yeah, he's worth it. Amen. Laura, you got anything else? Okay. What are you seeing in the spirit? Well, while she's... Yeah.
That was totally not here.
You're not here. Okay, she's gone. Sometimes when I was preaching, she's watching in the spirit and seeing what's going on. So I saw somebody and you were kind of... dragging old stuff. It was like a cloak was dragging the ground, like the train of a cloak was dragging along behind you. But it was old stuff. And the Lord came along and went, and cut it off. He's cutting off past. There's someone here. I don't want to get in anybody's underwear drawer, so to speak. But your dad was not a kind person. You know, God bless them. We love our parents. We honor them and we thank God for them because we wouldn't have been here without them. But because of the way your father treated you and things he said to you, you always felt like, I'm not enough. And I saw it was like someone had just pressed you down like an anvil on your head, a heavy anvil. And when you should have been tall, you were just smushed very, very small to feel very, very small. And the Lord said, that's a distortion. And by the way, I'm your real father. And I saw the Lord lifting the heavy burden and the lie of, I'm not enough. He's taking that lie out of our soul. I see him right now lifting someone up and saying, if I say you're enough, you're enough. So I'm going to have us, for the sake of the few that suffered with that, okay? The rest of us are going to help them by saying a proclamation, all of us together. We're going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I thank you that I had parents.
I thank you that I had parents.
I honor and respect them. But you are my real father. You have said I'm enough. You have said I'm accepted in the beloved. You have said that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Today I declare my freedom from feeling like I'm not enough. From feeling like I'll never be enough. I acknowledge that that is a lie. And today I'm receiving my document from heaven that says I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm more than a conqueror. And my Father loves me. And I will no longer walk under that heavy burden. In Jesus' name. Okay. All right. So sometimes when we do those, we actually see strongholds go. Is there anyone in here that has struggled for a long time to receive a healing? You know God heals. You know he loves you. But for some reason it hasn't manifested and you've kind of been like, yeah, amen. Right? Yeah, a lot of people. Amen. So I feel like God wants to help us with this. There's no judgment about it. But remember me talking about that thing I didn't want to do with releasing miracles? It was a mindset that I had, and when God removed it, he was able to flow. And sometimes sickness is tied, not always, but sometimes it's tied to a false belief system. Okay? And so sometimes we can fall into a trap of waiting on God, and we get this idea of, well, it's been all this time. If he was going to do it, he would have done it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I guess I'll just wait and hope he does it, right? And that's pretty normal for us, especially if you're in pain, right? But I feel like God wants to pull out some limitations, and I do believe some healing will flow. And I do believe that God wants to heal us even today. You know, we hope he will do it, but the truth of the matter is he really has already bought and paid for it. And I really believe he wants to flow. I'm actually seeing healing coming up through someone's feet right now. You're feeling healing come up through your feet and legs and coming up through your hips and up through your body. You're being healed. I saw, thank you, Father. I saw fire hit someone's chest. Now, this is not the same kind of fire as we saw before. This is not an impartation. This is a healing fire. One time we were in, where were we? Kenosha. And I saw fire shoot across somebody's back like their shoulder blade, and a person actually felt that shoot of fire and got healed in that meeting. And so, God, I actually saw healing fire hit somebody. He said, you don't have to wait anymore. I don't want you to wait. I want you to just receive and let me do what I do best. So I speak life. I speak healing. Healing angels, go to work. Healing angels, go to work. Healing angels, go to work. And release God's people. And Father, we just release all limitations, frustrations, and caring like, why didn't that happen? And we start to, you know, think, maybe I did this, maybe I did that, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. But, you know, God just likes to heal. And I believe his favorite time to do it is right now. I saw somebody, thank you, amen. I saw somebody get hit in their left front, their hip bone, you know, the bone that if you're not heavy set, kind of juts out. And I saw him just, boom, hit that hip bone. And I saw your entire hip and pelvis area shift. And there's a healing going on. There's someone that had broken bones. Your bones were shattered. Some of your bones were shattered. And they didn't heal quite right. And it's been a bit of a thing. And I saw God recreating the entire thing. I'm actually seeing him recreate. A friend of mine went to visited Bill Winston's church, just a visitor, right? It's a pretty big church. And she was sitting down, the service hadn't started, and the lady behind her said, honey, do you have a pin in your ankle? She said, yes, I do. She said, God's healing that pin. God took the pin out of her ankle. And the church hadn't even started. I saw someone get, in a good way, hit in the side of their head, and God is healing something that has to do with your head. I don't know if it's headaches or if it's something with your brain, but I saw boop, you got healed. You're getting healed. Someone's memory is being healed. You've started to have struggles with recalling certain things. God is restoring that. I speak life to every brain cell. I speak life to every brain cell in Jesus' name. We command life. Because, you know, a stroke will harm. It causes some brain cells to die. And that's why people sometimes start to lose a little bit of memory. But we don't accept that. That's not our covenant. We're not doing that. So we speak life to every brain cell. We speak an increase in memory, in recall, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that everyone in here will have perfect both long and short-term memory in Jesus' name. Someone here, God is giving you new thinking, like an entirely new thinking system. You've always been a negative Nelly. And you've told people, I know I am, I don't want to be, I seem to be stuck, I'm trying to fix that, I don't seem to know how to fix it. And so you cycle and cycle on the negative. You know, so you tend to worry, you tend to fret, you tend to talk about the negative. And I saw God just go, froomp, and help you with your thinking. He's helping you with your thinking so you'll be able to think in accordance with how he thinks. You know how God thinks? Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
All the time.
You say, but I'm old. It doesn't matter. Everything's going to be okay. That's how he thinks. Oh, I have this horrible bill. Everything's going to be okay. I got this. He always thinks that way. God always leads us in triumph if we let him. So God always has the better thing for you. I see someone, your issue, you have some leg issues, but I actually see, excuse me for turning around, it actually is based right here in the spine area. There was a little bit of damage done. I think you fell or something. And it's right, I can almost point right to it. And I see God restoring. I actually see him touching that area right now. I see some heat going into that area and some reconstruction happening. And even while you sleep, I believe he's going to be reconstructing. You're going to walk better tomorrow. You'll be able to walk more freely. Actually saw teeth being healed. Jump in anytime, Marty, Lori, just jump right in. I saw some type of sinus blockage. I don't know if it's a deviated septum or what it is, but you've always had a problem breathing on one side of your nose. And I saw God revamping that, reconstructing it, and opening that in Jesus' name. I saw, this is a really good one. I saw someone's thinking, you've always limited yourself and thought lowly of yourself, if you know what I mean. You thought poorly of yourself, like you would never be the one to stand forward. You would never be the one to, you know, carry a message or do anything great. You've always taken the back seat. But I saw your mind just flip over and go, why not me? Why not me? Why not me? And it's like your thinking changed, and because of it, God is imparting to you some things that he's been wanting to impart to you for a long time. And you will carry a message for God. You have a message in you. You've actually had it a while, but you just thought you couldn't. It's not true. Not true. See, God is removing our limitations. And I hear him say, come up higher. I know that you love me, but some of you are shy when it comes to coming to me. Somehow you still have this idea that I don't want you like I want the others, or that maybe you won't be able to find your way somehow. But I'm calling you. I'm calling you to myself. I'm calling you unto me. Come up higher. And I'm seeing this picture. To be honest, it's a scene from an old movie where this very wealthy, he's an earl, and he owns this vast, vast amount of land, and he takes his little grandson, who's, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8, and they ride horses out to this, like a cliff or like a promontory. And he explains to the grandson, all this is yours. As far as you can see, it all belongs to you. Because this little grandson will become the earl. And the picture I'm seeing is God wants to take you on the tour of heaven and show you what belongs to you. And it's far more vast than you've known. And because it's far more vast, or maybe you've thought, yes, it's vast, but I'll receive it when I go to heaven, when I die and go to heaven. But it would be pleasing to the Lord if you received it now. It would be pleasing to him to be able to impart it to you now, because you would help the kingdom. Some of you, if you had the goods, you would help the kingdom. You'd build the kingdom. Some of you, if you had the goods, you would do the things that need doing. Why would God not want you to be a Joseph? Why would he not want you? Some of you have been wonderful stewards of God's stuff.
Some of you have been wonderful stewards of the things that belong to God. Why would he not want to increase you? Because a good steward gets increased. And I'm feeling like there's increase in the room. There's increase in the room. I feel like God wants to take you and show you and say, all this is yours. And I don't just want you to know it's yours when you die. I want you to know that you can rule and reign with this. I'm hearing the word inheritance. Inheritance, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. See, I'm very odd. I haven't gone to heaven many times in my life. I do travel, I have had times in the Spirit. But the two primary times that I went to heaven, I actually was taken to see the treasuries. I wasn't looking for that. We were actually, the first time it happened to me. Do you have some? Okay. First time it happened to me, Edgar was getting ready to go to Kenya for the first time. And we had some friends over, and we were just sitting there. We're praying about his African trip, and suddenly, I'm in the temple. It was amazing. And I was taken to the place where the treasury is. And there was there's no words for it in English, but there was like a vault that was opened. And I was allowed to see just some. The treasuries are so vast, you have no idea. When it talks about according to his riches and glory, Solomon was a piker compared to our father. The riches of his wealth and the abundance of his treasuries is beyond anything that could be described. I don't know why I'm supposed to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this because this has really blessed me. In this particular encounter, we went into like this long, long system of what seemed like caves, underground caves, that were full of treasures. And in some of these caves, I knew that this was someone's room that still lived on earth. So you would have a room in heaven, a treasury room in heaven. And you would have a treasury room in heaven, but it was like a cave. And while I stood in the doorway of someone's room, someone I don't know, someone who's still on the earth, the person must have given or sown a gift. Now, I don't know what their gift was, but on this cave wall, I saw the most amazing-looking ruby go onto the wall. And in less than a second, that ruby went whoo, and it became, I don't know, like hundreds of rubies in this diamond-shaped design on the wall. Like, wow. Instead of one ruby, it was a whole bunch. See, God took that seed that whoever that person was, and he multiplied the seed sown. Yeah. You have treasure in heaven for every time you've ever given. And I was talking to God about something financial that I need him to do, that he actually promised, and he's the one that wanted it. I don't even want it, but he wanted it. So I went to him and I said, excuse me. You said you wanted this thing. I need you to provide for it. And he reminded me of those rubies. He said, you've been sowing for years. Do you have any idea how many rubies you have? Do you have any idea how vast the wealth is in heaven? He said, I'm asking you to call it in. See, I was preaching in Bristol one time and I heard myself say by the Spirit, God was saying this. Some of my people are really good givers, but they don't know how to receive. And I felt like God was saying that to me too. Like he was saying, honestly, don't ask me to do it, command it to come in.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound strange? This whole thing of people talking about prosperity or how it's good or it's bad or it's good or it's bad or it's good or it's bad. I'm one of those people. I want to know what God says. I just want to know what God says. And I've never liked greed, and I don't like that icky manipulative thing. I hate that stuff. But I also know something about stewardship in the kingdom. And I'm driving in the car and I said, God, tell me what you say about this. He said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own all the oil and all the gold and all the treasury bills. I own everything there is. And he said, and I would appreciate it if my church would begin to bring some of it into the kingdom to do my work. That's what he said about prosperity. But he said it in such a way that made me to know that he wants us not just to believe him to do it, but what did Jesus say? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And when I asked him, the thing I had to ask him for is something he told me he wanted to do. I didn't really care about it, but it's expensive. It's out of my range. I don't have that much money, but I know he does. And my thing is, if you want to do it, hallelujah, you know, pull out your credit card, Father, because, you know. But he was saying to me, no, 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 no. And I love it when he quotes the scripture to me. Given shall be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. He said, I'm not going to give it to you. And he said, I want you to begin to speak to it like you would speak to a mountain. Because see, whenever I'm sick, you know what I do? I speak to the mountain. I command it to go. What is a mountain? Could be a tumor, a lump, a cyst. What is a mountain? Something that shouldn't be on your body that is. Something, some bill that you have to pay. What is a mountain? It's whatever you need moved. And Jesus wants us to begin. You know, when you're young in the Lord, it's okay to beg him to do stuff, and he's so gracious he will do it. But as you grow in the Lord, it's like, think of a little prince who's a little toddler. He can still crawl up on grandpa's knee and ask. But as he gets older, grandpa hands him a sword and says, you go get it. As he gets older, he's a prince, and God expects him to behave like one. And I'm talking to some older saints in the Lord. God is expecting us to begin to tell the earth realm what it is supposed to do. Is that too far out there for you?
No.
See, Jesus gave us authority in the earth. He said, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. He came to get it back. Adam sold it out. Adam sold out the authority to the enemy. That's how the enemy became prince of this world. He wasn't the prince before that. No, he wasn't. He got it by deception. Adam was the intended prince of this world. Satan got it by deception. Jesus came to take it back, and right before the cross, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now, he said, now is the prince of this world cast out. What did he mean? He was just ready to go to the cross. He was saying, at that cross, at that ascension, I'm banging the gavel. I'm making a judgment. There's some judgments that will happen at the end, yes, but now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And you might say, well, it doesn't feel like he's cast out. Seems like he's still here to me. But what happened was Jesus took back the authority that was yielded in the garden. Then he said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And so there are some things that as we mature in the Lord, he expects us to begin to say, I will have this. I will have it this way. This will not happen. No, devil, you're not doing that. No, you can't have her. No, you can't take that one from cancer. No, I will not allow this. We have to get nervy. We have to get courageous. And we have to begin to take back our stuff. We have to begin to stand our ground and say, this is what I will allow and this is what I will not allow. Because for too long, we've let the devil rule too long. We've let him rule too long. Even in the church, we've let him rule too long. We've let him rule in the government too long. We've let him do too much. And there's some things that, frankly, are on the church. You know how they say that's on me? Well, there's some things that are on us. Where we're looking to God to do some things, and he's saying, I'm looking to you. And when I was talking to him about that funding, he said, haven't you seen the wall of your room lately? It's full of stuff. You begin to speak. Now, I know that sounds strange to some people, and I'm not into... I don't care about money. I never did. I just, God made me that way. You see no jewelry on me. It's not that I don't think it's nice. It bugs me. Having stuff on my fingers is annoying. Having stuff on my wrists is annoying. You know, I just don't care about fancy stuff. God made me that way. But I'll tell you what. I'm not going to let the devil run me out of something God wants to do. You know, one of the reasons, you guys are mostly partners. I don't know, I never share this publicly because I don't want it to sound like toot toot. But I want you to understand, when I tithe out of this ministry, 22% of everything that that comes into this ministry goes to the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
22. And I'm not backing down, and I'm hoping it's more next year. And I'm hoping it's more the year after that. See, I remember a day when we didn't make enough. I had to work secular. We couldn't have lived on off of what Edgar made. And Edgar was a big deal. And he'd been on every Christian television that there was. And we didn't have enough to even pay him a salary, really, a little bit. And I remember one day being annoyed by that. You ever just get annoyed by some? And I saw the bank balance, and I thought, that isn't right. That's not right right there. And I said, Father, I want to see a minimum of $50,000 in that account. That's kind of gutsy, isn't it? But I was like, you know, I'm done with this. Edgar Bailey's a man of, come on, 50 sounds like a lot, but how much, do you know that the average salary in the U.S. is 59? Here you got Edgar, and I'm out working in IT so we can eat. Not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying I got fed up. Like, that's not right. We're not doing that. That's what authority looks like. We're not doing that. I said, I want to see this. And within just a couple months, that's what I saw.
Hallelujah.
I said, well, all right. Okay, then I want to see that. And I want to see that. And I want to see that. And I want to see that. Now, I don't know how we're here, but we're here. Some of you have not understood kingdom principles, and so you've struggled with finances and you've struggled with poverty, but that is not God's plan for you. Stewardship is God's plan for you. So God wants to raise up people who understand the kingdom and aren't afraid to rule and reign in finances. And when you're faithful with a little, he gives you charge over more. And when you're faithful with that, he gives you charge over more. And when you're faithful with that, he gives you charge over more. Because if you're a kingdom builder, he's looking around for kingdom builders.
Yep.
He's looking around for people who will steward well for him. And you ought to be saying, that's me, I'll do that. If you're not already a kingdom builder, say, I'll do it. I'll be a Joseph. I'll be the one that is able to help people in the last day when they don't have food. I'll be one with the bag of beans that never runs out. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Right. God's bending our mind. That's what he's doing. He's going boing, boing. Don't let the world system intimidate you. Don't let bills intimidate you. I'm just going to say this. I don't know who this is for. Don't let your ex-husband intimidate you. Don't let the enemy intimidate you through people. You stick to the Word of God. Because if the Word of God says you have something, you insist on it. When the Word of God says, this is yours, you lift it up before the Father and you say, this is mine, right here. This, right here, that's mine. You said so. And when the enemy tries to scare you, and he can, I'm not going to lie, there's times when he has the ability to do and say things and even manifest in ways that can be scary. I was in church one time, in worship, and it was so amazing. I had done something I never do, or at least never did back then. I stepped out into the aisle, and I didn't even know why, but I was walking forward. I was so far gone in God, and this big, ugly, mean, lousy devil who was scary looking, came and tried to intimidate me. And there was a second where I got to have a choice. And I started laughing with this huge belly laugh. You know, he doesn't like that very well. He hates getting laughed at. But he is kind of funny. I thought, well, that's pretty funny. You showed up in church during worship, and you're trying to scare me? Booga, booga, booga. And I said, and don't let the door hit you on the way out. But there was a second where I could have gotten in fear. But because I wouldn't, you know how much authority he had over me? None. Zero. Because see, the scripture says you have all authority over him. And whether you know it or not, you have authority over things in the earth too. You just don't have. One thing we don't have authority over is other humans. We're never to try to control humans. Don't ever control. You're not God. God himself doesn't do it. He gave us all free will. So we're never to control or manipulate. Well, I've lost all track of time as usual. I don't know if anybody else has fire, but I'm sweating hard. Oh my goodness, 9:30. How did that happen? Well, this was nothing like what I thought. Nothing like what I thought we were going to do. Okay. Is there anything else that you feel like we're going to do, supposed to do tonight? She's giving you the stink eye. You look better than you did today. Does anyone want to get rid of a limitation? Yeah. Oh, goody. The shy people are speaking. Okay. Look at, like, five hands went up before. They're like, no, I don't have any limitations. Brooke, I love you. What is your limitation? Yeah, what is the limitation you want to get rid of? Yeah.
Harder meeting. Okay. Because my limitation, there's like a few, but one has been just like fear of finances, like feeling inadequate, things like that. It's just mistakes from my past. So at the last partner meeting, you had shared about putting that red line or cross on the page and saying, no, thank you, God, for paying. You paid this bill already. And I had a list of my debts, right? Because I'm in school and I'm working on my doctorate, so it's been a lot. We want to pay off this home equity thing for you.
Praise.
It's the right thing to do. And I was like, that is crazy because I've had this debt for like a couple of years. And right when I did that, what you said, it like was gone. Like, not even.
And so, for those that weren't, thank you. So, for those that weren't on the call, Lori shared something that I used to do, still do. And it's when you have something bugging you or weighing on you or you're worried about, you take a piece, this is very childish, but I'm a childish person. You take a piece of paper, you get a big fat red magic marker, and you make a big old cross. And you write your issues on there, and you give it to God, and you don't take it back. And you just let it simmer. You just let it simmer there in the blood. And look, you didn't even have 3 days in it. Thank
but
you,
like,
Jesus.
Thank you for handling it, and then it was
like, yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. You had something, Kathy.
My limitation is believing in healing.
Okay.
I've had tinnitus for 8 years, and it gets worse, a little worse as I age a little, and it keeps me from hearing the Lord. It keeps me from being able to come into the silence with the Lord. And that's my limitation.
Okay. So, Father God, I ask you to give us a proclamation. Here's how you get rid of a limitation. It's really, the limitation isn't the tinnitus. It's perhaps the idea that we get discouraged because it's been too long. Or something could be like that, right? Mm-hmm. So, Father, we are going to give you right now all our limitations of worry or fear about thinking this is going to take forever. And right now, we ask for a complete reversal. Is it in both ears? Mm-hmm. Is it both ears? So I'm just going to ask the Lord. We ask you, Father, for a complete reversal of this and a complete adjustment throughout the sinus cavity and throughout the eustachian tubes, the inner and the outer ear. And we ask you, Father, to heal her swiftly. And I ask that this will never, ever be a distraction to her when she's hanging out with you. Yes. Jesus' name. Somebody had something over here. Was it you, Kimmy? Oh, you? Okay. Yeah. Okay, and so I think probably a lot of people, she said that sometimes the devil lies to her and tells her she's not important, or did you say not loved? That is probably the most common lie we run across in the body. What do we do with lies? We repent of believing them. And here's how God taught me. When I battled depression, and I thought about suicide every day, and I felt, and I had self-pity, poor me, because things were so bad. And God spoke to me, and he said, Holly, you do understand that when you say, I know the word of God says this, but you do realize you're calling me a liar. And so, of course, I quickly repented. I'm like, you're right. Guilty as charged, Lord. You're absolutely right. I'm saying your word isn't really true because I feel this way. So what do we do with that lie? We repent, right? Because we know his word says you are, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And you are deeply important to him. So we're all going to get rid of that one. Amen? So, Father, we come before you. We come before the throne. And in Jesus' name, Father, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring to you this lie that the devil tried to make me believe. If I ever felt like I wasn't important, or that I am not loved, I'm calling that out for the lie that it is. Your word clearly says the opposite. So I refuse to house that lie on my soul. I renounce that lie. I reject it. And from this day, I embrace the word of God, which says I'm loved by God. Nothing can separate me from his love. I'm accepted in the beloved, and I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the apple of his eye, in Jesus' name. So you just gave the devil a black eye, right? Because here's what happens. I've actually been on the phone, and God would say, tell them to speak to their soul, and I would think, that's kind of weird. He would have me say to them, okay, tell your soul this, and they would say it. I get off the phone, this first time it happened. I said, God, is that scriptural? He said, haven't you read? Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. What was he doing? He was talking to his soul. He was telling it how to feel. So it is a choice, but when you make a proclamation like that, you're telling your soul, you don't have to believe that. That's a pile of junk from the enemy, and you're not doing it. Right? So if he comes up with that one, just say, oh no, I made that decision. In Wisconsin. Kimmy, did you have something?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yes.
I feel like in every aspect of my life, it's either a lack of boundaries. I don't get respect. I don't get respect from my employees. I don't get respect from my used to husband, kids, even patients sometimes. I can't lead if I'm not respected, and I'm sometimes too nice.
Okay. So I'm searching for what the root of that is. So Father, I ask you to give us wisdom on that one. Do you believe in your authority? And do you? Sometimes, yeah. Okay. Sometimes people may perceive that they perceive you as a pushover. I'm not sure. Yeah, you think that's true? So, you are very nice, and I thank God for that. But I'm going to have you step into a new garment, so to speak. I'm going to have you, just you, Olivia, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not going to be a pushover anymore.
I will still be kind,
and I will still love people, but I will do it like you do it. I'm a leader. I run the company.
I
love them.
But I will command respect by my behavior.
And I won't accept.
I will not accept
disrespect.
Disrespect
in Jesus' name. Because there's something that we can actually carry that lets people know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like God wanted you to, I actually was seeing you step into your position. Like before you were so nice that you were like, oh, I don't want to make any waves. But now you're like, excuse me, this is my position. I will still love you and be kind, but
yes.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. You got something, Adam? Just watching? Okay. Lori's a seer. That's why we check in. Somebody else? Anybody else? Yes.
The limitation of fear.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay. So she said, mentioned fear of man. I used to have that terribly. Terribly. I was terrified of people. I was terrified of authority, and I also with it had a man-pleasing spirit. Terrible combo. And it was really crippling. And part of it in my case, have you ever been shy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when God called me to preach, I just thought that was the worst idea because I was so scared of people. And I couldn't... I really couldn't talk to this day, I'm not great with groups. I'm great one-on-one, but, you know, put more than two, just very shy. And I was talking to the Lord about it because I was afraid of preaching, afraid of screwing up. What will they think? What if I screw up? What if I do badly? Blah, 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 blah. And he said something, and my response was, well, but I'm shy. I just saw that as a personality type. He said, no, it's not shyness. It's the fear of man, and it's a spirit. You need to get rid of it because how can you preach if you're afraid of the people? And so right now, all of us, we're just, I know there's some very not shy people in here, but I also know there are some shy ones, and God has called you to speak out. And so if you're shy, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind and break every spirit of the fear of man. And every spirit that would cause me to feel like I need man's approval. I break fellowship with those spirits. I come out of agreement with those spirits. Satan, you can't rule my life anymore. If God gives me something to say, I'm going to say it. I have the boldness of the King. And he will teach me how to walk in it. In Jesus' name. Now, I will tell you, it took me a little while because I had to continually learn how to do life because I was such a chicken. But over time, it just got to where it was normal. Amen? Okay. All right. All right. Well, you do look much better today. All right. Anything going on over there? I feel like I'm kind of done. Has anybody else got anything, questions or anything? You want to deal with any stuff? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say what I saw. Can I do that?
Sure.
During praise and worship, at the end, I heard, I don't even know how to describe how big a herd is. Do you know what Buffalo looked like? And the plains, you know, before they were all killed off. Millions of them, huge herd. Here, they go out there, even
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anybody else have any questions or limited? Yes, ma'am. Welcome to my world.
It's not dependent on me.
Yeah.
But that fear of if I tell a county commissioner, yes, I'll do this, the weight in the earthly realm falls here. And I don't want to disappoint him or not be able to carry through what I feel like he's asking me to do.
So I'm hearing two things. You can add to this if you. For me, one of the most freeing things for me was when I finally understood the grace of God. Grace of God is not just about forgiveness. It's not just about mercy. It is God's ability to do through us what we cannot do. And once I got a hold of it, I began to employ the grace of God probably 50 times a day. That's not exaggerating. I do it every day. And what it means is I don't have the ability. You've never seen a worse cook in your life, but I can cook by the grace of God because he'll tell me literally 22 minutes, 450. So part of it is letting the grace of God do the work through you. And then he either fixes the result, or if it doesn't happen the way you thought, he handles it. It's like because you are trusting him, you're giving it to him to handle. And so either it goes right, or if it goes wrong, it's like, not my problem.
Yeah.
So, and that for me is very freeing. And the other part of it, though, is for me, I could never do ministry if I didn't spend a lot of time praying in tongues. And the reason is I have to hear him. We make decisions at the speed of light. You know, at any given day, we have to make all these decisions. And so we're always saying, Lord, do we do this? Do we do that? Right now, they said we could get this place in 1 year on this same weekend, but we got to know by tomorrow. So we're like, well, you can't sit on it. Lord, what do you want to do? Right? So so I found if you're making a lot of decisions, Robert Henderson, you know, I've always prayed in tongues a lot because the person I was raised up under said, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And they were not wrong. But I heard Robert Henderson say something I thought was brilliant. And he said every morning of his life, he made a decision that he's going to get up. And the first thing he's going to do is he's going to spend an hour with God. And the first half hour is he prays in tongues. And the second half hour, he prays in English. So I actually pray a lot more than that because we also have a number of prayer meetings a week where we just get on the phone and pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And because of that, I hear, do this, don't do that. And for me, there's safety in that because I'm not just going out in my flesh and saying, I'm doing this and I expect the grace of God to back me. There'll be times when he'll say, not yet, don't do it yet. Turn here, go there, don't go there. And because of the combo of that, we're able to see great victory. But I could not do it if I didn't pray a lot. Couldn't do it, period. Does that make any sense? It's got to be something good. It's got to be a humdinger of a statement. But Father, we do ask you to expand her language. I ask that even in the night seasons that she will just wake up and hear languages, music, songs, the music of heaven. I ask that you expand it and that you remove anything that may be blocking it. And I ask that she will just become one of those people who's multilingual in the spirit, in Jesus' name.
Agreement, Lord.
Amen. All right. Yes, John.
Yeah, so I got, when doing the spirit, soul, and body thing, the revelation knowledge came to me that we all have God's faith in us. It's God's faith that moves the mountains, not our faith that moves the mountains. So I got got that down, but I'm still, you know, I'm trying to pick up every stone, trying to get my healing, and I'm still struggling with belief, because it's a combination of his faith and our belief that I think manifests a miracle. So I'm struggling with, okay, so how do I, what do I do to increase my belief? Because now I know I got God's faith.
Yeah. Well, for me, first of all, I wouldn't overcomplicate it. I think sometimes we can think something half to death and worry, you know, am I doing this right? Am I doing it right? But at some point we have to say, you know what? You died for this. You died to give me this. I'm taking this. I'm demanding it. And you yourself have taught about Derek Prince and that principle. That principle, I'll just tell you real quickly, the principle is you get a couple scriptures. Derek Prince was in the hospital with an incurable skin disease in the Sudan. And he laid there and he thought, if I had faith, I could be healed, but I don't have faith. And then he saw the scripture, faith comes by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So he thought, well, I can get faith. And God gave him a prescription out of the scriptures that is health to all their flesh. And so he was a medic in the British Army, and he said, well, if I'm a medic and I give a prescription, I'm going to tell the person to take it three times a day after meals. So three times a day, he would lay there and he would speak the scriptures. And the principle is this. I think we talked about this last night. Did we talk about this last night where, you know, my head faith is here, my heart faith is here, right? Like, I believe, but help my unbelief. But as, actually, I tried to order something from Derek and they sent me the wrong book. But it was actually the right book. And in this book, it talked about this method. And as I did it, and you've taught this, John, but as I did it, my faith, my inner faith went, and it literally only took 3 days. I was at work, and I had symptoms that would hit me, literally hit me in the side so hard I would want to fall over. And when it would happen, I would say, no, in the name of Jesus, it is written, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. It's quite a long scripture, and I would say it at work. And then I would come, I'd speak to the mountain and say, you have to go. And it would go, but then it would try to come back. And I would, no, I said. And this went on for about 3 days. And while I'm doing this, my faith is going, vroom, vroom, vroom. And I remember at one point I'm at work and I thought, I'm healed. I know I'm healed. I knew I was. And then I was. So I don't know if I would overthink it. Because I think that's a trap sometimes. We start to look at, what am I doing? Maybe I'm doing this wrong. If I do this. I think sometimes we have to just say, simply to the cross I cling, Jesus has done this. This is mine. I'm gonna quote that scripture until it becomes who I am. You know, you can quote a scripture until it becomes who you are. And that's what...
It's okay if it takes 5 years.
You're good at that. You're very tenacious. I'll give you that, John. You're very tenacious, and you are... healed. You are being healed.
Yeah.
And I believe with all my heart, you are going to totally see the victory in this. And actually, I thought it might be you I was talking about with the...
Yeah, well, I was thinking you were.
I thought that was you, yeah. So you may be doing the dance, hallelujah. John had an accident. He had some bones, a number. It was a pretty tough accident.
Yeah.
But God is restoring you. Yeah. Amen. I was pretty sure that was you, so, yeah. All right. Hallelujah. Well, yes, ma'am.
So I just felt like maybe some people in the room still feel like...
Yeah, it could be. That's a stinker, isn't it? And, you know, I don't want to go too deep into this, but in your flesh, of course, you're not and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But in your spirit, man, you've been made holy. And so if we can get a revelation of who we are and who we aren't, then that becomes a non-issue. I'll give you this. When God was teaching me about righteousness and worthiness, I had a horrible stronghold of guilt and condemnation. And I wasn't worthy. And I was doing everything I knew to do, fasting, praying, reading. I was like a madman, you know, trying to get to Jesus. But it seemed like the spirit of condemnation would say, well, you know, if you were fasting, you should have been reading. If you were reading, you should have been out witnessing. No matter what I did, it wasn't good enough. Anybody got that? Yeah, it's a lying devil. And what God did to cure me, he's kind of funny. On my worst day, when I really didn't have it together, he'd use me to heal something big and scary. I mean, a big, scary thing. And I would say, how can you use me? He'd say, you still don't get it. I don't heal people based on your righteousness, because you don't have any. I heal people based on my righteousness. And not just heal people. You're used of God. It's his righteousness. We don't have any of our own. So that's really important, especially if you're ever going to preach, right? Because you may have a day where you don't think you're so hot. Guess what? You still got to go do it. And you're doing it from his righteousness, not yours, because you don't have it. And if you can see that, I used to call it the 100-0 proposition. I bring nothing to the table. I have nothing to bring. I have never done anything right. If God ever uses me, it's in spite of me, and I've got that revelation. But I also know that the more I understand that, the greater his grace is for me. So, because he is righteous in my behalf. So, in one way, we could say it's true, I'm not worthy. But there is one who stands inside of me. In fact, God, I'll just share what we did at the women's thing. Somebody was dealing with that, and God gave me this picture. And the picture was, if you imagine at the Olympics, the high bar, that very, very high bar that somebody's supposed to go running with that thing and leap over, and it's impossible, you know. Imagine that, and you're standing there with no stick, and you're supposed to jump over it. Not happening, right? Not happening. But then Jesus comes, and he's so big. And he stands up and reaches up like it's nothing, and he takes that thing, and he goes, and then, so perfection personified, right? Absolutely perfect. Fills every standard, and then he steps inside you. Right? He is your identity. And our problem is we're still trying to live out of our own identity, which stinketh. That's our problem. Amen? So I'm asking the Lord if there's a proclamation about this. It is believing a lie, right? Remember we said, if we know the Word of God says one thing and we say, yeah, but I feel, remember, now we've called him a liar, right? And I know no one in here wants to do that. So I'm going to have us all say, Father, in the name of Jesus. If I've ever believed the enemy's accusation that I'm not worthy, I have this to say. In my flesh, I wasn't. But you died to give me your own value. Your own righteousness. Your own holiness. Your own worthiness. So I will not settle for the enemy's accusation anymore. I will no longer walk according to the weakness of my flesh. Which both you and I know is no good. But I will begin to step into and walk in your righteousness. I accept the robe of righteousness that I didn't deserve. I accept the holiness of God that I could never have earned. But I accept it fully in Jesus' name. Amen. And so really, what you haven't changed, but you become hopefully aware that you don't have to walk in that fleshy accusation anymore. If the devil accuses me, it's like, and your point would be, you know, oh, you're not good at that. No kidding. Not a problem for me, because I know whose I am, and I know who's in me. And I can't do this. I can't do any of this by myself. None of it. Isn't that wonderful? I could stand up here and look like a blithering idiot, and I'm sure that I have sometimes. But guess what? That is not my problem. Yeah. Amen?